comment on 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the voice of the prince of darkness. The god of Ekron was supposed to give information through the medium of its priests concerning future events. Large numbers of people went to inquire of it, but the predictions there uttered and the information given proceeded directly from the prince of darkness. Review and Herald, January 15, 1914. Verse 3, is there no God in Israel? God is your counselor, and we are always in danger of showing distrust of God when we seek for the advice and counsel of men who do not make God their trust and who are so devoid of wisdom in matters that they will, by following their own judgment, retard the work. They do not recognize God to be infinite in wisdom. We are to acknowledge God in all our counsels, and when we ask Him, we are to believe that we receive the things we ask of Him. If you depend upon men who do not love God and obey His commandments, you will surely be brought into very difficult places. Those that are not connected with God are connected with the enemy of God, and the enemy will work with them to lead us in false paths. We do not honor God when we go aside from the only true God to inquire of the God of Ekron. The question is asked, is it because there is not a God in Israel that you've gone to the God of Ekron to inquire? Manuscript 41, 1894. Chapter 2, 1-6. Some need many moves. Again, God sees that a worker needs to be more closely associated with Him, and to bring this about, He separates him from friends and acquaintances. When He was preparing Elijah for translation, He moved him from place to place that he might not settle down at ease and thus fail of obtaining spiritual power. And it was God's design that Elijah's influence should be a power to help many souls to gain a wider, more helpful experience. Let those who are not permitted to rest in quietude, who must be continually on the move, pitching their tent tonight in one place and tomorrow night in another place, remember that the Lord is leading them, that this is His way of helping them to form perfect characters. In all the changes that we are required to make, God is to be recognized as our companion, our guide, our dependence. Review and Herald, May 2, 1907. Verses 1-8, our schools of the prophets. Just before Elijah was taken to heaven, he visited the schools of the prophets and instructed the students on the most important points of their education. The lessons he had given them on former visits he now repeated, impressing upon the minds of the youth the importance of letting simplicity mark every feature of their education. Only in this way could they receive the mold of heaven and go forth to work in the ways of the Lord. If conducted as God designs they should be, our schools in these closing days of the message will do a work similar to that done by the schools of the prophets. Review and Herald, October 24, 1907. Verse 9, linking oneself with Holy Spirit means success. The success of the ministry of Elijah was not due to any inherited qualities he possessed, but to the submission of himself to the Holy Spirit, which was given to him as it will be given to all who exercise living faith in God. In his imperfection, man has the privilege of linking himself up with God through Jesus Christ. Manuscript 148, 1899.
You may turn this tape over now to continue this message. Tape BC5 from the Library of Present Truth Tapes.
Verses 9 and 15, power united with tender compassion. Elisha received a double portion of the Spirit that had rested on Elijah. In him, the power of Elijah's Spirit was united with the gentleness, mercy, and tender compassion of the Spirit of Christ. Letter 93, 1902. Verses 11 to 15. Deviation disqualifies for service. Henceforth, Elisha stood in the place of Elijah. He was called to the position of highest honor because he had been faithful over a few things. The question rose in his mind, am I qualified for such a position? But he would not allow his mind to question. The greatest qualification for any man in a position of trust is to obey implicitly the word of the Lord. Elisha might exercise his reasoning ability on every other subject but the one that would admit of no reasoning. He was to obey the word of the Lord at all times and in all places. Elisha had put his hand to the plow and he would not look back. He revealed his determination and firm reliance upon God. This lesson is for us to study carefully. We are in no case to swerve from our allegiance. No duties that God presents before us should cause us to work at cross purposes with Him. The Word of God is to be our counselor. It is only those who render perfect and thorough obedience to God that He will choose. Those who follow the Lord are to be firm and straightforward in obeying His directions. Any deviation to follow human devising or planning disqualifies them for being trustworthy. Even if they have to walk as did Enoch with God alone, His children must separate from those who do not obey Him, who show that they are not in vital connection with Him. The Lord God is a host, and all who are in His service will realize the meaning of His words to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Youth Instructor, April 28, 1898. Lessons from Elijah and Elisha. The history of Elijah and Elisha needs to be brought out in clear lines that our people may understand the importance of the work of reform to be carried on in this age. Oh, that our people might have the assurance that their feet are standing on the sure foundation. The lessons to be learned from the life work of Elijah and Elisha mean much to all who are striving to plant the feet of men and women on the eternal rock. The workers must humble their own hearts if they would understand God's purposes for them. They must themselves strive in the truest sense if they would influence others to enter the straight gate. The presentation of the truth must be made with grace and with power to those who stand in need of light and uplifting. Letter 30, 1912. Chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. Schools were respected for learning and piety. Samuel had founded the first regular establishments for religious instruction and the unfolding of the prophetic gifts. Among the chief subjects of study were the law of God with the instructions given to Moses, sacred history, sacred music, and poetry. In these schools of the prophets, young men were educated by those who were not only well versed in divine truth, but who themselves maintained close communion with God and had received the special endowment of His Spirit. These educators enjoyed the respect and confidence of the people both for learning and piety. The power of the Holy Spirit was often strikingly manifest in their assemblies, and the exercise of the prophetic gift was not infrequent. These schools or colleges were of untold value to Israel, not only as providing for the dissemination of religious truth, but as preserving the spirit of vital godliness. Signs of the Times, July 20, 1882. Chapter 8, verses 16 and 18. Jezebel's scheme unsuccessful. With her seductive arts, Jezebel made Jehoshaphat her friend. She arranged a marriage between her daughter Athaliah and Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat. She knew that her daughter, brought up under her guidance and as unscrupulous as herself, would carry out her designs. But did she know the sons of the prophets, who had been educated in the schools which Samuel established, were steadfast for truth and righteousness. Manuscript 116, 1899. Chapter 10, verses 1 to 31. Jehu, religion unsafe. Men are slow to learn the lesson that the spirit manifested by Jehu will never bind hearts together. It is not safe for us to bind our interest with a Jehu religion, for this will result in bringing sadness of heart upon God's true workers. God has not given to any of His servants the work of punishing those who will not heed His warnings and reproofs. When the Holy Spirit is abiding in the heart, it will lead the human agent to see his own defects of character, to pity the weakness of others, to forgive as he wishes to be forgiven. He will be pitiful, courteous, Christ-like. Review and Herald, April 10, 1900. Chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. What have they seen? What have your friends and acquaintances seen in your house? Are you, instead of revealing the treasures of the grace of Christ, displaying those things that will perish with the using? Or do you, to those with whom you are brought in contact, communicate some new thought of Christ's character and work? Have you always some fresh revelation of His pitying love to impart to those who know Him not? Signs of the Times, October 1, 1902, chapter 22, verses 10 and 11. Josiah's repentance points to our work. When Josiah heard the words of warning and condemnation because Israel had trampled upon the precepts of heaven, he humbled himself. He wept before the Lord. He made a thorough work of repentance and reformation, and God accepted his efforts. The whole congregation of Israel entered into a solemn covenant to keep the commandments of Jehovah. This is our work today. We must repent of the past evil of our doings and seek God with all our hearts. We must believe that God means just what he says and make no compromise with evil in any way. We should greatly humble ourselves before God and consider any loss preferable to the loss of his favor. Chapter 23, verses 1 to 3. Need for reform. Joshua had read to priests and people the book of the law found in the sight of the ark in the house of God. His sensitive conscience was deeply stirred as he saw how far the people had departed from the requirements of the covenant they had made with God. He saw that they were indulging appetite to a fearful extent and perverting their senses by the use of wine. Men in sacred offices were frequently incapacitated for the duties of their position because of their indulgence in wine. Appetite and passion were fast gaining the ascendancy over the reason and judgment of the people, till they could not discern that the retribution of God would follow upon their corrupt course. Josiah, the youthful reformer in the fear of God, demolished the profane sanctuaries and the hideous idols built for heathen worship and the altars reared for sacrifices to heathen deities. Yet there were still to be seen in Christ's time the memorials of the sad apostasy of the King of Israel and his people. The book, an ally in work of reform. In his position as king, it was the work of Josiah to carry out in the Jewish nation the principles taught in the book of the law. This he endeavored to do faithfully. In the book of the law itself he found a treasure of knowledge, a powerful ally in the work of reform. General Conference Bulletin, April 1, 1903. Verse 2, Josiah's view of his highest position. To be a reader of the book of the law containing a Thus Saith the Lord, Josiah regarded as the highest position that he could occupy. The highest work of princes in Israel, of physicians, of teachers in our schools, as well as of ministers and those who are in positions of trust in the Lord's institutions, is to fulfill the responsibility resting upon them to fasten the scriptures in the minds of the people as a nail in a sure place, to use their God-given talents of influence to impress the truth that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, for the leaders of Israel to extend a knowledge of the scriptures in all their borders is to pronounce spiritual health, for God's word is a leaf from the tree of life. Manuscript 14, 1903. Children need not be sacrificed to Moloch. Religion in the home, what will it not accomplish? It will do the very work that God designed should be done in every family. Children will be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They will be educated and trained not to be society devotees, but members of the Lord's family. They will not be sacrificed to Moloch. Parents will become willing subjects of Christ. Both father and mother will consecrate themselves to the work of properly training the children given them. They will firmly decide to work in the love of God with the utmost tenderness and compassion to save the souls under their guidance. They will not allow themselves to be absorbed with the customs of the world. They will not give themselves up to parties, concerts, dances, to give feasts and attend feasts, because after this manner do the Gentiles. Verses 13 and 14, memorials of apostasy. Goodness alone is true greatness. Everyone will transmit a heritage of good or of evil. On the southern eminence of the Mount of Olives were the memorial stones of Solomon's apostasy. Huge idols, unshapely blocks of wood and stone, appeared above the groves of myrtle and olive. Josiah, the youthful reformer, in his religious zeal, destroyed these images of Ashtoreth and Chemosh and Moloch. But the broken fragments and masses of ruins remained opposite Mount Moriah, where stood the temple of God. As strangers in after generations asked, what mean these ruins confronting the temple of the Lord? They were answered, there is Solomon's mount of offense, where he built altars for idol worship to please his heathen wives. Letter 8b, 1891, verses 29 and 30. Those who will not take God's word as assurance need not hope that human wisdom can help them, for human wisdom aside from God is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. The word of Christ is, he shall guide you into all truth. Reject not the light given. Read the history of Josiah. He had done a good work. During his reign, idolatry was put down and apparently successfully uprooted. The temple was reopened with the sacrificial offerings reestablished. His work was done well. But at the last, he died in battle. Why? Because he did not heed the warnings given. Because Josiah died in battle, who will charge God with denying his word that Josiah should go to his grave in peace? The Lord did not give orders for Josiah to make war on the king of Egypt. When the Lord gave the king of Egypt orders that the time had come to serve him by warfare, and the ambassadors told Josiah not to make war on Necho, no doubt Josiah congratulated himself that no word from the Lord had come directly to him. To turn back with his army would have been humiliated. So he went on, and because of this he was killed in battle, a battle that he should not have had anything to do with. The man who had been so greatly honored by the Lord did not honor the word of God. The Lord had spoken in his favor, predicted good things for him, and Josiah became self-confident and failed to heed the warning. He went against the word of God, choosing to follow his own way, and God could not shield him from the consequences of his act. In this our day, men choose to follow their own desires and their own will. Can we be surprised that there is so much spiritual blindness? Manuscript 163, 1903, chapter 24, verses 10 to 16. Israelites proved themselves untrustworthy. The children of Israel were taken captive to Babylon because they separated from God and no longer maintained the principles that had been given to keep them free from the methods and practices of the nations who dishonored God. The Lord could not give them prosperity. He could not fulfill his covenant with them while they were untrue to the principles he had given them zealously to maintain. By their spirit and their action, they misrepresented his character, and he permitted them to be taken captive. Because of their separation from him, he humbled them. He left them to their own ways, and the innocent suffered with the guilty. The Lord's chosen people proved themselves untrustworthy. They showed themselves to be selfish, scheming, dishonorable. But among the children of Israel, there were Christian patriots who were as true as steel to principle, and upon these loyal men the Lord looked with great pleasure. These were men who would not be corrupted by selfishness, who would not mar the work of God by following erroneous methods and practices, men who would honor God at the loss of all things. They had to suffer with the guilty, but in the providence of God, their captivity at Babylon was the means of bringing them to the front, and their example of untarnished integrity shines with heaven's luster. Review and Herald, March 2, 1899. Verses 17 to 20. Zedekiah refused God's protection. Zedekiah was faithfully instructed through the prophet Jeremiah how he might be preserved from the calamities that would surely come upon him if he did not change his course and serve the Lord. The calamities came because he would not, through obedience, place himself under the protection of God. With his eyes put out, he was led in chains and captivity to Babylon. What a sad and awful warning is this to those who harden themselves under reproof and will not humble themselves in repentance that God may save them. Letter 28, 1905. Chapter 25, verse 9. Failure as missionaries. Why did the Lord permit Jerusalem to be destroyed by fire the first time? Why did he permit his people to be overcome by their enemies and carried into heathen lands? It was because they had failed to be his missionaries and had built walls of division between themselves and the people around them. The Lord scattered them that the knowledge of his truth might be carried to the world. If they were loyal and true and submissive, God would bring them again into their own land. General Conference Bulletin, April 7, 1903.